to Psalm 142, and we will get back into the Psalms, and then we'll have a time of prayer together. And remember, we're asking the Lord to teach us to pray. And I love that verse in Luke 11, you know, where the disciples say to Jesus, "Teach us to pray." And I've said this before, but what was it like to hear Jesus pray? You know? They didn't say, "Teach us to preach, teach us to fish, teach us to walk on water," but "teach us to pray," you know? And that must have been something to hear him pray. We see words on a page, you know, but what was it like to actually hear the Messiah pray? Especially John 17, you know, that must have been special. So that's one of the things that we're going to do here in a moment after we go through the devotion from Psalm 142. Remember, we're going to take a prayer group, whatever size, but take some young people with you and teach them to pray. Sometimes young people need a little bit of encouragement, you know, like, what are you thankful for? And, you know, maybe you'll hear, "I'm thankful for Fruit Loops," you know, but seriously, get, you know, teach them to pray. So we want to talk to them about the seriousness of prayer and who we're praying to. And you know, we're not looking for a doctrinal thesis from Turner, you know, maybe from Connor, but not from Turner. Where is Connor? Oh, there he is. So, but no, seriously, but, you know, so let's teach each other to pray. So Psalm 142, follow as I read. A Maskil of David, a prayer when he was in a cave, is the title. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. So we see from the title, it's a Maskil of David, and that word, when he was in a cave, and Maskil means instruction, or a didactic prayer of King David. So this psalm teaches us by example of how to pray when we are in distress. Okay? How many of you have been in distress? We all have. Okay? And this is a prayer that teaches us how to pray when we're in distress. This instruction is needed because during our earthly pilgrimage, there is many times that we are in distress. And the Lord knows that. And the Lord helps us through those distressing times. For the history of this psalm, let's turn back a little bit. Turn back to 1 Samuel 22. I love when the psalm tells us the exact occasion. Okay? And we have two occasions here in David's life where we learn of him living in a cave. You may think that your husband is a caveman, okay? David literally was for a while, okay? And he lived in a cave. I know some of us guys wouldn't mind living in a cave, but, you know, but 1 Samuel 22, the first two verses said, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. That word means refuge. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontent, gathered themselves unto him, and he came, became a captain over them, and there were about with him about 400 men. So here is one time that David is in a cave called Adullam. Turn a couple chapters to the right, chapter 24. Look at the first few verses. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. En-Gedi means spring of the kid, and kid meaning a young goat. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, and there was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. We won't turn there, but in Hebrews chapter 11, that great hall of faith chapter, we're told by the Apostle Paul there that David is not mentioned, but it said the world was not worthy of them. Some of them even had to live in the wilderness and in caves. So I'm sure what was on his mind was David. And I had the privilege of being in Israel, and one of my favorite places on planet Earth is En-Gedi. Were you in En-Gedi? Were you in En-Gedi, Rich? En-Gedi is not too far from the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea is just what it is, the Dead Sea. But there's this beautiful oasis there. And there's these waterfalls, and it's like a little tropical oasis there. It's beautiful, it's absolutely beautiful. The water is crystal clear, and this is where this takes place. And so David is hiding from Saul. Spurgeon said something interesting about this. Had David prayed as much in his palace as he did in his cave, he might never have fallen into the act which brought such misery upon his latter days. You know, friends, but isn't that so much like us? When we're in ease and at ease, we kind of forget God. You know, here's David. Kingdom's his. He's no longer hiding in caves. You know, matter of fact, he's got it so good, he sends all his army out. And when the start of that chapter is when kings go to war, David, rather being in his armor, is in his pajamas. And he's sitting around the house during the government lockdown. No, I'm just, you know, he's sitting in his house and he's not where he should be. And he's at ease. And he was led into temptation. There's a good example for us also, but this psalm teaches us how to pray when we're in distress. David, the anointed king. Saul, the rejected king. Being hunted by Saul everywhere he goes. David even has an opportunity here once again to take his life, but he doesn't. And Saul continues to hound him. So the outline of the psalm, verses 1 and 2 in a cave, verses 3 and 4, destitute of friends, and verses 5 to 7, there is one who cares. Notice the first stanza again. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. So in this first stanza, verses 1 and 2, this cry and prayer fits very well with the title given. God was David's only source of help. He cried out to him. He pours out his complaint to him. Is it wrong to complain to God? No. It's wrong. We can have the wrong attitude when we complain. How many times do we see in the Psalms? Why? Why is this happening? Okay? I mean, if your mother is serving you a good dinner but you don't want it, it's wrong to complain about that. But, you know, but God, you know, there are times we can ask why. David is the anointed king. Saul is the rejected king. And I'm living in a cave. So he pours out his complaint to him. Of course, he poured out his complaint to who? To God, not to his neighbor, right? Not, well, man, I don't know what God's doing. You know, this isn't fair. This isn't right. So that's not his complaint here. His complaint is to God. But it also, you know, he poured out his trouble to him as well. Who better to hear our troubles than the Lord? So we see from this cave, he cries out. And in verses 3 to 4, the second stanza, we read, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." David is comforted now, knowing that the Lord knows his path. Also knows the snares which have been laid for him. He also knows how destitute he is. No one would recognize him. Every place of safety had perished, and not a single person sought for or inquired after him. Wonder how David's doing. Think about it. Even hiding in a cave, there would be the man hunting him, you know? When Saul came back, we read in 1 Samuel, when Saul came back from fighting the Philistines, what's the first thing he does? Goes after David. Sometimes it seems the enemy doesn't let up. Sometimes right on the heel of one, you know, incident is another. You ever have one of those? One of those weeks, one of those months, one of those years, whatever. I mean, just like one thing after another after another. So who does David take his complaint to? Who does David take his trouble to? He takes it to God. He doesn't gossip about it. He takes it to God. And in this, he gets the victory. Verses 5 to 7. "I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me." So in this final stanza, David knows that the Lord cares for him. He knows that. Therefore, David cries out to him, and he confesses that he, meaning God, is his only refuge. He's his portion. And he prays to him for deliverance from those who are stronger than he is. I mean, think about it. Saul had the whole army of Israel under his command. We're told David had 400 men. Okay. Thankfully, Saul was not a good shot with his javelin. How many times, there's a good study, how many times did Saul throw his javelin at either David or Jonathan, and he missed every time. So he's not the kind of guy you want to go hunting with, you know. But seriously, all of this trouble. And his prayer for deliverance is in order that he might praise God's name. Lord, there's other psalms that say, in the grave no one praises you. I want to live. I want to praise your name. I want to be able to say to the people, look how God delivered me. His prayer for deliverance is order that he might praise God, and he is sure that his prayer is answered and that the righteous shall surround him. Isn't it interesting that 400 men came to him when he was first dwelling in this cave? And then we read later on that that army began to grow. And who were the ones that came to him? Those that were discontent and discouraged, and those who Saul had beat to the ground. And they came to David because they knew that David was different. So he knew the righteous would surround him instead of those who laid traps for him. But best of all, he knew that God dealt bountifully with him. What do we start the 10 o'clock service with? God is always only good. Isn't that a wonderful truth that helps us to make it through the trials of our life? And some of you right now are going through deep waters. And my prayer for you and my hope for you to understand is that God is always good. God is only good. And you might be in the thick of things right now. And you might not understand, but understand that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. All things. All things. And you might be living in one of those all things right now, and the experience may be difficult, and you might be saying to yourself, how can this be good? Bring that complaint to God. Not to your neighbor to complain about it. But God, how can this be good? Show me how this could be good. Help me through this. And he will. And he will. So, teach us to pray. What are we going to take into our prayer time? Just think that David prayed this while hiding in a cave. Okay? The anointed king hiding in a cave while being hunted and hounded like an animal. Yet he knew that even if everyone was against him, the Lord would protect him and deal bountifully with him. Could you or I be thankful if suddenly we were driven from our home and homeless? Living in a cave? Maybe like the two pastors in Canada, one that already spent time in jail, and Pastor Pawlowski, I think I'm saying his name wrong, but arrested yesterday and he's in jail. You think they can praise God from a prison cell? We know it's possible. Today, as we pray, may we realize that the Lord is our only source of help. Our only source of help. And may we thank him that even when there is no one around us, the Lord is always present. You know what Martin Luther said? One with God is a majority. We've been talking a little bit about Martin Luther this week for some reason. I think it was you that were bringing up Martin Luther. It was. And, you know, at that Diet of Worms where they were determining whether Luther was going to die or live, be burned at the stake, and he knew that his life was in the balance, he said, they told him to recant everything, and you'll live. And Luther said, unless you can convince me by the scriptures, my conscience is bound to the scriptures, here I stand. I say that Luther had quite a prayer meeting that night. Because unbeknownst to him, while they were basically passing the sentence that tomorrow, Luther, you're going to be burned at the stake, his friends came and broke him out of prison. And then God used him mightily, and he translated the Bible into German. And, of course, the Reformation continued. So we have to understand, friends, that God is at times our only source of help. Sometimes as much as we love our friends, sometimes our friends can't help. God can. God will. May we thank him that even when there is no one around, the Lord's always present. May we praise him for his being our refuge, his being our portion, his being our deliverer. And finally, may we thank and praise him for the way he always deals so bountifully with us. Isn't it amazing how God is so good to us? So good. Always good. So tonight,